This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right, let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hour number three. Thanks for joining us as we continue to look at the wild card weekend in the NFL. Tonight, the LA Rams taking on the Arizona Cardinals, and the winner of that game goes to Tampa to take on Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, and San Francisco will be heading up to Green Bay to take on the Packers. Now, tonight's game's interesting. It's another divisional rematch that played twice during the regular season. I look at the Rams, and the Rams didn't look all that great towards the end of the season, and that's fine. Some teams don't always look the part, and then they get to the playoffs, and there's some sort of big reset button. You know, we've seen teams be red hot going into the playoffs and lose, and you see teams struggle, yet find that extra gear in the postseason. But if you want to look at both of these teams going into tonight's game, yeah, the Rams lost to the 49ers. It allowed San Francisco to get a playoff spot. Matt Stafford has looked really shaky at times. But if you're into that kind of thing, right, where you want to know the trend of a team going into the postseason, then really look no further than what Arizona did in their loss to Seattle. The Seahawks were a team just beset with problems all season long, and Russell Wilson never really looked Russell Wilson-esque. But he certainly did in that final game against Arizona, and so did Rashard Penny, because he had over 190 yards rushing against that Cardinals team. But also look at coaching. I mean, Sean McVay and Cliff Kingsbury have done magnificent jobs with their teams. Which one in this particular moment would you trust more, Cliff Kingsbury on the road or Sean McVay at home? I'm leaning towards the Rams in this one. I think Arizona has been a really fun story all year in terms of what they were doing, because I had them fourth in that division. I thought, you know, look, I thought they would be a really good team that would be right there at the end and give the West four possible teams in the postseason, but I thought that they would be on the outside looking in. And instead, there was a good section of time this season where they were the top team in the NFL. I mean, they were looking really good. The one thing about Arizona is, though, they win on the road. They know how to do that. I don't know if SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles is one of those big, loud, intimidating locations yet, but I know Arizona can win on the road. But I do like the Rams tonight to close out Wild Card Weekend. More thoughts, including, should Jerry Jones overreact to that loss the Cowboys had to San Francisco? That's next on Sports Map Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right. Thanks for joining us as we continue to look at the wild card games from over the weekend. And I thought the more entertaining and not necessarily in a good way game was Dallas-San Francisco. It was really sloppy, and both teams, you know, didn't really do much to impress. Although I have to admit, I thought San Francisco had the right game plan. The Cowboys fell behind and really couldn't get themselves in a position to sort of take control of that game. I give them credit. They scored 10 points in the fourth quarter to make it a one-possession game and had opportunities, but that's about it. If you're Jerry Jones, I mean, we all know about this about Jerry. There's a couple of things. One, he's not getting any younger. Two, he hasn't won a Super Bowl since 1995, January of 96, to put it exactly. He is spending a lot of money on this team, and yet it's another first-round exit out of the playoffs. But how the Dallas Cowboys were out of this game and some of the things that occurred that caused them to lose this game, does Mike McCarthy survive this?
He can't.
I mean, that was a really embarrassing display of football that you can't necessarily chalk up to one of those days.
I mean,
why did they commit 14 penalties?
You listed all those things with Jerry Jones, right? Another one to throw on top of that is that they haven't even been to an NFC Conference Championship
right.
game That's since 96.
Right. Exactly.
So let alone, I mean, yeah, there's usually what, I don't know, how many playoff games have they won since 96?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know off the top of my head. I can barely remember any of them. I think they beat the Lions in one of the trips, but I don't remember much else.
But this is a team, again, look at what Jerry has watched over the last couple of years, right? I mean, he had Bill Parcells and he couldn't win. He had Tony Romo playing at a high level and couldn't win. He had Dak Prescott taking over and playing at a high level and couldn't win. He had a team that had all of these offensive weapons and a good defense and couldn't win, right? And this game in particular, I go back to the penalties. I mean, not to harp on them, but they were a big, big deal. It felt like any momentum Dallas had, some bonehead penalty would come up and would just kill whatever they wanted to do, right? I mean, Randy Gregory, I mean, that holding defensive holding penalty on third down late in the game when the 49ers are going to punt the ball away and you're going to get the ball back with some decent time on the clock, you do a defensive hold that gives them an automatic first down, and you have no timeouts left? Like that's inexcusable. Other penalties were absolutely inexcusable. That's 14 of them. That's on the head coach. You can't get all of your team. Like, these are professional football players acting like this. I don't mind a penalty or two here. Sometimes a hand goes in the wrong spot. Sometimes you try to get away with something you don't. But in those particular situations, when that game was close, when all you have to do is tell those guys, look, guys, stop doing the thing you know they're going to flag. We can't afford it. We can't afford a delay of game that eats clock when we're trailing in the ball game. Like after the fake punt. What kind of mess was that? I mean, if I'm Jerry Jones, the fact that he showed constraint at the end of that game, because if I was the owner of that team, I would have been livid. Especially if I'm getting up there in age and tomorrow isn't promised to any of us. And I felt like this was the best team I've had in a long time that could win a Super Bowl. And I exit the postseason with a team that committed 14 penalties, never found a groove offensively, defensively was lapse at times, and play calling was suspect. And, oh, by the way, my quarterback's running a 17-yard quarterback draw on second and one, where there's only 8 seconds on the clock as everybody's scrambling to try to hike the football?
Do you think the Niners saw that and said, hey, just let him keep running?
Yeah.
I mean, at one point, it's like, you know, just make sure he doesn't get into the end zone, but let him bring it all the way down to the 5-yard line.
Right? I mean, at what point does Jerry Jones say, I'm sorry, but you know what? This really isn't working out, Mike. Yeah. You don't call plays. What exactly do you do? I think that's what Bobby Bell was pointing out with us. Like when I asked him about, all right, Mike McCarthy has been to the playoffs. He has had he went to a Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl. How much is that influence on this team as they try to do the same thing? He's like, I'm the wrong guy to answer. Bobby said, I'm the wrong guy to ask because Mike McCarthy doesn't really call plays.
Yeah.
He's like his fingerprints aren't really on this football team. If that's the case, then send him bye-bye.
Yeah.
Especially after that.
All right, I have your answer for you. Since they won the World Series, Super Bowl in 1990, well, it was 96, right?
It was January of 96, yeah.
Yeah. So since they won, they've had 15 games since then in the playoffs.
Okay.
And that's not 15 appearances because there's a whole lot of years they didn't even make the playoffs. But they've had 15 games since then. They've only won 4.
When was the last one?
The last
was it against the Lions?
The last one they had was against the Seahawks in 2018.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
24-22, and then they lost to the Rams in the divisional round.
That game, that was Prescott's year.
Yeah.
That was the year Prescott took over, and then they lost to the Packers the next game at home.
When they beat the Lions in 2018.
No, in 2018.
They lost to the Rams.
They lost to the Rams that year?
In 2018, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I'm thinking, what was Prescott's year?
That was Prescott's year.
I want to say
2014 when they lost to the Packers. Well, 2016 they lost to the Packers.
That's the Prescott year. That's Prescott's year.
Yeah.
Right. That was the year he took over the team, but then they just kind of stumbled.
Now, was that the year of the catch or was 2014 the catch?
That was the catch. That was on the road at Green Bay. That was
2014.
That was the Dez Bryant no catch, yeah.
That should have put them in the conference championship.
Should have put them down by the goal line.
Yeah.
Right near the goal line. Yeah.
We'll just all assume they'll score then.
And there was also, I mean, think of all the years since. I mean, there was the Romo botched
fumble.
Was it field goal fumble?
Right, whatever
that was. 2006 or 5 or whatever, around that time. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was so many heartbreaking losses for this team that were in the postseason.
Yeah.
But you're right, they never made the NFC conference game in 25 years, 25 plus years.
They only
have
4 wins to show for it.
Only 4 wins. And the fact that he showed constrained enough to go, we're not going to talk about changing coaches. I would have been like, hell yeah, I'm changing coaches. Guys, be here tomorrow when I announce some of the moves that I'm going to be making for this stupid team that lost in this stupid way.
I really don't care that you went 12-5. This is a lot different. I mean, if Marty Schottenheimer can get fired after 14-2 and seems to be doing everything right at that moment in time, it was just – ownership didn't get along with the coach, and that was the whole reason why he got fired. Why can't you? I mean, Mike McCarthy, I don't think is the answer.
I just don't know. Like, Kellen Moore's decision on the quarterback draw is so baffling, and they defended it at the end of the game. I know you want to defend it. It's embarrassing when you do something and then you get caught and it seemed to be dumb. I mean, we see it all the time.
Yeah.
Where they go, that was the play that was called, blah, 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 blah. We stand by it because they don't want to go, we screwed up. We made a mistake. It was the wrong play. It was dumb. I mean, we left us no time to do anything. But it left you no time to do anything. Like, I don't want to get into the referee getting in the way. The referee is supposed to touch the ball. The referee is trying his best to get to the ball as quickly as possible. You cannot snap the football without the referee spotting it. You're not allowed to spot it yourself, right? That's not going to happen. So you have to factor those things in. When we slide, how much time is going to be left? Will we be able to do it? What if the official is a second or two too slow? You didn't even give yourself a chance to do that. Throw the ball, try to get out of bounds, and go from there. The Niners are guarding the sidelines. So what? You've executed this fine. So what? Find a way to do it.
Or
find the right route that
or
gives
if you,
you
do, or if you do decide to throw it and it has to be over the middle, then do like a 5-6 yard pass, make it quick.
Exactly.
So it gives you enough time. That was the whole problem. Like, I'm not even upset that they called a quarterback draw there. I think it becomes on Prescott and it becomes on the offensive line that you got to know the rules, and the rules are that the referee needs to spot the ball.
Wait a minute. Why are you fine with the quarterback draw?
I'm fine with it, but I don't think it should have gone as long. Prescott needs to have that presence of mind to slide a lot earlier.
But
if you're just trying to get like five, six yards, no, it's risky.
I'm still thinking it's way too risky even going for 5 or 6 yards.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I think they should have taken 2 shots at the end zone.
Right.
But if you're going to do a quarterback draw, get 5-6 yards, slide. You got to have that presence of mind. Like, I don't have a whole lot of time to run.
To me, this is just me. I just think that a 4 to 5 yard quarterback run gives you nothing other than 4 yards.
Right. No, I know.
That's all you're getting. Like there's, you're not, again, you're not running out of downs. You're not going to get to fourth down with 14 seconds on the clock. Right. That's not a real thought.
Now, would you have been upset?
Second down, you're getting second down and third down. You're not even getting to fourth down. But even if you did get to fourth down, it doesn't matter because fourth down would be the last play of the game.
Okay, would you have been upset with this? If Prescott took off and like he did and went running, instead of sliding, if he tried his hardest to get into that end zone?
Oh, that would have been worse.
Think it would have been worse?
Absolutely, because he wasn't getting into the end zone. He wasn't getting into the end zone. The Niners would give up. The Niners are okay with wherever the ball was, 40-yard line, whatever it was, 42-yard line. They'll give up 41 yards. They have no problems doing that. No problems doing that. That's why, Hail Marys, everybody's in the end zone. All your defenders in there. You want to throw it to the 10-yard line? Throw it to the 10-yard line. There's just going to be 7 guys here ready to tackle that individual as soon as he gets the football. So the Niners are only protecting the end zone. They're not protecting first down. They're not protecting the 10-yard line. They're not protecting field goal range. They're not protecting anything. The only thing they're protecting is the end zone. You want to take it 41 yards to the one? God bless. That's fine. You're going to run out of time because you're not going to get the playoff by then. So the Niners knew what they were doing. As soon as Prescott is running with the ball, he becomes the number one target of every 11 guys on the field.
And I think the Niners played it right, too. They weren't They wanted to tackle him, but it didn't, I didn't get the sense of urgency of, like, right. we got to make sure to stop him at this yard line. Right, it was almost as if they knew, like, let him run, guys.
Yeah.
Just let him run. The end zone.
He's not going to – he can't get in the end zone. He's not going to get in the end zone. Again, there's 11 guys now. Well, not really, because the defensive player's not going to run back and catch you. But in theory, there's 11 guys after you to keep you out of the end zone. The only thing they care about is keeping out of the end zone. You can pick up as many yards as you want, but you can't cross the goal line. And if he gets close to the goal line, there's no time left. He has no time left to score. So to me, throw the ball into the end zone. That's your best chance. Even if it's crowded and it's unlikely to be, at least you're giving yourself a chance. Running a draw on second and one for 17 yards with eight, and leaving yourself 8 seconds when a whole bunch of things could happen that could go wrong to prevent you from hiking that football again, that's the problem I have with the play. Is there wasn't an anticipation that 8 seconds wasn't going to be enough. And it wasn't enough. You can blame the referee all you want. The Cowboys didn't look all that set to begin with. They're all bumbling up to the line to try to get set.
No, it's not the ref. This narrative that it could be the ref's fault is not at all.
No.
I mean, he's just doing it. The only thing I'm watching the replay of it right now, maybe the ref didn't need to bring the ball back and then forward again.
Right.
You know, but what are we talking about?
But he is spotting the ball. He's spotting the ball.
Yeah.
Like, he's doing his job. So,
and I'm nitpicking over a tenth of a second. So that's why it's like, it's not the ref's fault at all. It's you, Cowboys.
And they're also trying to listen. And they also, like, people were saying, why can't they just let him run the play? Admit that they, because you got to protect the Niners too, right? Like, you can't.
Time expires,
right? You can't just give Dallas a free shot because you think maybe you caused a half a second or a second with your trying to spot. You're doing your job. You're trying to spot the football. If players are in your way, players are in your way, but you're trying to spot the football.
Well, you know, it's funny, too, because that scenario or that narrative only comes up at the end of a game. You're not going to talk about that during the middle of the third quarter.
Right,
or even
exactly.
At the end of a third
completely.
Quarter.
Exactly. You're 100% correct. You're right.
At the end of the third quarter, you know, just as time ticks, you're not sitting there, well, let's add a half a second there.
Yeah.
Because the ref didn't spot the ball in time. No.
Exactly.
You're just going to roll it over. You don't care.
All right. Jordan DeGianni is going to join us, CBS Sports, coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll talk to him about the NFL as we continue on a Wild Card Monday on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. All right, so from the Cowboys side of things to the San Francisco side of things, is this team, and again, they got to go to Green Bay, is this team now dangerous part two? It was one thing to say, hey, there's some things Cowboys could be exploited, and I think San Francisco can exploit that. Is this the kind of team with the way they can run with Deebo Samuel and hopefully not get more brain blips from Jimmy Garoppolo enough to go to Green Bay and beat the Packers? That's the question I've got now. And this is something we'll probably examine all week long leading up into the divisional games coming up this weekend. See, I'm not sure, but I do like them. I mean, I do like the way they play. There was one thing that Bonte Hill said last week on Friday about the Niners, and he said, this game is going to be really physical. And it really, really was physical. That was very clear. This was a very physical football team. But, man, Deebo Samuel adds that second level that I really like. And, again, Garoppolo's the big X factor here, right? I mean, it's very weird to talk about a quarterback the way we talk about Jimmy Garoppolo, who has, again, gone to a Super Bowl, taking this team back on his shoulders and leading him into the postseason again. A road playoff victory against a very good Dallas Cowboys team. I know there's some people want to throw arrows at them. Oh, they were overrated all year. No, that was a good football team they beat. The Cowboys beat themselves, but the Niners also really did beat them. But Garoppolo does make mistakes, right? We pointed out a couple already on this show today, right? His interception of Brown was a bad throw. That was a bad throw. And it shouldn't have been made. He was rolling out. He saw his receiver, but it wasn't the right place to throw that ball in that particular moment. Where a turnover kills you, but punting the ball away or, you know, however you want to give the ball to the other team, but not that. And then also with the offsides call, with the motion, where Trent Williams was not set. And Garoppolo got overzealous, he said, at the end of that game. He said he was overzealous. Those are the kind of things that hurt you. That should have been first down, game over. But instead, it is fourth and five, and you're going to punt it away, and Dallas gets another shot. And that's dangerous, because Dallas with another shot, it could have been a whole lot worse. Imagine if the Niners had gone on to lose that game. Think about that. I mean, think about what Garoppolo did in the fourth quarter of that game that could have cost a 23-7 lead to evaporate. And it's realistic. I mean, it could have happened, right? I mean, that was, what, a six-point game? The Cowboys were going for the win there. They weren't going for a touchdown and a two-point conversion. They would have been touchdown, extra point away. Well, with Greg Zuerlein, you really didn't know, right? I feel like every time they brought out Zuerlein, they kept bringing up the fact that he's really kind of struggled this year. Oh, I really kind of struggled this year, Jim. Sometimes he hits it through the uprights, and sometimes he misses.
No I'm way. Sorry. Don't you want him to turn Jim Nance to turn just once and go, really?
Really? Come on, Tony.
Just borrow that line. Are you serious, Clark?
There was one moment in the game where the Cowboys failed to convert a third down in the third quarter, and they had fourth and short, but not fourth and inches. And Romo says, I think they should go for it here, Jim. And I'm like, there's 20 minutes left in the game. What are we doing? You're going to give San Francisco the ball if you fail to convert this? Come on, Tony. Like, slow down a little bit. There was still a whole quarter and a half to play in the game, and he's asking the Cowboys to go for it on fourth down deep in their own territory.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, who are they? Who do you think they are? The Chargers?
Yeah. Some people say they should punt here. I don't know. They should probably maybe go for it, or maybe they should punt it away, Jim. I don't know. $18 million, people.
I do find this kind of interesting, though, because I think it's only been like more recent seasons. I don't remember this as a kid too much. That say you're on your side of the field, you're on your 40, right?
Right.
That you don't go for the field goal and you don't punt. That you go for it.
Yeah, yeah.
I've noticed that becoming more of a trend.
Yeah, it is. That you're going for it now? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's because I do think, and I've got, this is just a hunch. I've got no analytical data to back this up. I think it's because there's a lot of young coaches now that are sort of like, why were we punting?
Yeah.
Like, what? Why were the old school coaches punting in this situation when it's not a bad place to give the ball away? And it's, you know, yeah, it, you know, because yeah, the
it's
old
just
school,
out of field goal range. I mean, you're talking about a 60-yarder that you know, the analytics on a 60-yard field goal are terrible.
And I do think that has a factor into it as well. I do think that they're coming out with all this data now. Like, I made the joke over the weekend that I don't – like, when they go and the chance of success went from 52% to 37%, I'm like, are you just making these numbers up?
Yeah.
Like, none of us have no idea what the formula is that you're using. Like – chance of winning went from 97.8 to 86.2 with that fourth down incompletion. And I'm like, now you're just lying. Now you're just making it up. But I do think there's some analytical data that has been supportive of, hey, look, if we punt, this is what happens. If we go for it, this is what happens.
If we punt, and I think, most likely it's a touchback.
Yeah. Very and I think young coaches are like, whatever. Yeah. Does that make sense?
I think so.
That's just my
No, that's I've just noticed that. It's like, you know, you get past the 50-yard line and everyone's like, they're definitely going to go for it here. And, you know, I remember times like, well, that's where you would punt. You'd still punt from there, and it always, like, baffling. It's like, that guy's going to kick it straight up into the air.
Yeah.
And he's going to hope to get it inside the 10-yard line.
Yeah, like, you know, it's like when your grandpa goes, back in my day, we used to get up and milk the cows and churn our own butter. And you're like, yeah, now I go to the store, okay? Like, the younger, like, the old coaches were like, it's a battle of field position, and it's a battle of territory, and you've got to own territory. And the young guys are like, yeah, you know what? But I'm going to go for it on fourth down in your territory. So how about that? Like, I'm seeing a different way of seeing this game that's in a different lens than you from the 1960s and 70s. Yeah, I do think that there is a younger generation of coaches that are a little bit more riverboat gambler and wanting to do that a little bit more. That might be the reason. All right, Jordan DeJohnny is going to join us, CBS Sports. We'll talk about his thoughts on the wild card weekend as we continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
It's a wake-up call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Jordan DiGiani joins us. CBS Sports talks of NFL wild card weekend almost in the books. We got Rams in Arizona tonight. How are you, Jordan?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm doing well. Hope you guys are as well.
All right, your thoughts on the final seconds of the Cowboys-Niners game. Listen, I get nobody wants to overreact here, but that game with the penalties, with some of the play calling, I think Jerry Jones has really got to evaluate. Where did you see that chaos?
So, you know, coming into this matchup, I thought about tweeting, you know, when/if the Dallas Cowboys lose this game, a lot of the blame is going to be shifted on Mike McCarthy, whether that's fair or unfair. But sure enough, after watching that game, there's a lot of reasons you could fire Mike McCarthy. You know, I think that you look at the coaching staff as the main reason why this team wasn't ready to go. And you look at a lot of the situational football that occurred, and that was incorrect. Different, you know, the decisions they made were incorrect. And obviously you have that entire fiasco when they're trying to orchestrate a game-winning drive. And I want to talk about that for a sec. I mean, Mike McCarthy said he wanted the ball at the 25 instead of the 50. Okay, we can all agree with that. And you know what? I'll even be nice and avoid the play call for a second, the QB sneak with no timeouts. How does your offense not understand the under 1 minute protocols? How right. does Dak not know to hand the ball to the ref instead of spotting it yourself? How does the center not know that? More importantly, how do they both not know that? That was what was the most mind blowing thing to me. That's why the Dallas Cowboys lost. It was crazy. And the fans were throwing things on the field at the players and the refs. And, yeah, I don't know how surprised I am that the 49ers have hit them. That was a pick of mine. But just how it all went down and the fact that they only scored 17 points, yeah, Jerry Jones is going to be very upset.
On the flip side of that, here's San Francisco. And they keep winning with Garoppolo, but you can tell that he's not the future there. But is he earning himself a job anywhere else?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely think he is. You know, at the same time, I think that there's not many NFL franchises out there that look at him as some major upgrade that's going to be a guy that leads them to a Super Bowl. But he's still a pretty decent quarterback, especially when you consider and compare some of the different free agent signal callers that are going to be searching for new deals this offseason. You know, if I'm somebody like the Denver Broncos or just another club looking for an NFL quarterback, I, of course, am definitely going to be swinging for the fences, whether that's Russell Wilson, whether that's Aaron Rodgers, whether that's a high draft pick. But Jimmy Garoppolo is definitely doing something to show other teams that he's a legitimate starting quarterback.
All right, I want to get to the Buffalo Bills-New England Patriots game because for the Bills, an amazingly historic win just from what the offense did alone, but also just getting over the Patriot hump. What does that mean for them? But also, what does it mean for New England? How much work do they have to do? This is a blip on a radar, but how much work is Bill Belichick going to have to do this offseason?
Yeah, so first for the Buffalo Bills, you know, I don't know how much we might have learned about this team. We always knew that they were capable of an offensive explosion. Maybe not unprecedented like this one where they scored literally every time they touched the ball, but they had all the pieces for an offensive explosion to take place. Now, can they maintain that same level of consistency as we go through the playoffs? That's kind of the main question there. I'm shocked that at the score, obviously, they lost by 30 points, or they won by 30 points. But this team, you know, I want to see if they really are legitimate Super Bowl contenders. Yeah, they can maybe take down the Chiefs, but who are they going to meet? The Tennessee Titans in the championship game? Can they take them down? Do they have a chance against a team like the Green Bay Packers? Now, as for the New England Patriots, this is kind of what I saw this team, other than the defensive disparity I saw in the postseason here, because this defense always was playing good football. But as for the offense, Mac Jones, he looks like a future signal caller. He looks like he's going to be the face of the future. But at the same time, we haven't seen him win games with his arm. He's needed the offensive line to establish tempo. He's needed the run game to be successful. And he's benefited from a pretty good defense overall as well. So I'm not necessarily shocked that they lost this game. I am shocked at the final score. But Bill Belichick has another offseason to try to get it right. Expect Mac Jones to take another step forward, and we'll go from there.
When Buffalo played Kansas City earlier this season, it was a time when we were questioning Kansas City. They looked like they were struggling. It looked like there was a little bit of an open book on how to defend them. But then they righted that ship. How different does this Chiefs team look compared to the time where we were wondering what exactly they were?
Oh, man, night and day. It's funny you bring that up because I think that moment in time when the Chiefs got absolutely routed on their home field in primetime was probably like the low of their season when everyone on a national stage saw the Chiefs, saw their weaknesses and said, man, this team is not the same as they were. But sure enough, they were able to right the ship, and obviously they look completely different now. We saw against the Steelers last night how efficient and effective this offense can be. And that's why everyone should be hopeful that we could get one of the best shootouts in NFL postseason history when these two offenses take the field next weekend. This Chiefs team is obviously a legitimate Super Bowl contender. A lot of people will make arguments that they're actually the number one team in the AFC. They're going to have a chance.
Every team that wins this upcoming weekend is one game away from the Super Bowl. And that includes the Cincinnati Bengals, who finally got a playoff win. I love Joe Burrow. I like his moxie, and I love the threat that he has around him. But are they on that level of being able to ride this train to a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so. I would love to see that. That'd be very interesting to see this team make an entire flip with their new franchise quarterback. But I don't think they're there just yet. Even their win over the Raiders had some warts. I mean, it really shouldn't have come down to the final play. Obviously, they scored that controversial touchdown that shouldn't have counted by rule. You know, they're going to have a chance to really turn some heads in Music City this weekend. But the Bengals are 0-7 all-time in road playoff games. I mean, they've got their head coach. They've got their new quarterback. Obviously, this offense is humming. And that's going to kind of be the key against this Tennessee Titans team that's going to be absolutely wild and out there in Nashville. I mean, Joe Burrow really won the game, in my opinion, for the Cincinnati team, and how just efficient and consistent they were on offense. Ja'Marr Chase is going to be obviously play a huge player in what could be an upset for the Bengals. I don't see them as a team with the wherewithal to make a legitimate Super Bowl run just yet, especially after the season the Tennessee Titans have had and Derrick Henry's coming back. But obviously they're on the right track as a franchise.
Yeah, let's get to the Titans, because a week off is going to do teams a lot of good, and the Tennessee Titans have earned that, especially getting Derrick Henry back. Overall, though, just outside of Henry, what is there to like about the way the Titans are playing football?
Yeah, I mean, look at this franchise. They were able to secure the number one seed in the AFC without their best player for half the year. I mean, that should say a lot. I think that this team is capable of playing some of the best football in the NFL. You look at their defensive line, I think it's one of the best in the league. They can absolutely dominate games. Just go back and watch the film against the Los Angeles Rams earlier this year. Now, of course, I bring up them playing without Derrick Henry, but it almost didn't matter who was running the ball behind this offensive line in this game. They were finding success. Deonta Foreman looked like a top 10 running back at points this year. And then you look at the wide receiving core. It's kind of been bumpy. It's been up and down. A.J. Brown and Julio Jones have only been on the field together for, I think, 8 full games or so, only half the year.
Yeah.
But they're finally back healthy. This team is gaining momentum for itself. Ryan Tannehill overcame some of the turnovers he was throwing earlier this year. This Titans team is the number one seed in the AFC for good reason. And if you put Derrick Henry and add him to that equation, they're going to have the wherewithal to make a legitimate Super Bowl run.
What about tonight's game, Arizona at Los Angeles? Both teams kind of shaky to close out the season. Rams made Seattle look good when not very many teams have made Seattle look good. And Stafford has been struggling with turnovers. How do you see tonight's game?
Yeah, a lot of people are excited for round three between these two divisional opponents, and I definitely am as well. You know, the Cardinals really stumbled to the finish line, and they actually had what was defensively their worst performance of the season in the regular season finale against the Seattle Seahawks. That's a huge red flag. You don't want to see that from any team that's entering the playoffs, because you should be pegging them as somebody who's going to be an early round exit. But at the same time, this Rams team, you brought it up, Matthew Stafford has definitely had some issues with consistency and turning the ball over as well. Still, I like the way that this team finished the regular season. Even though they lost to the 49ers in overtime, just overall their past 5 games in the regular season, how they were able to perform. You look at this roster on paper, they have the talent enough to make a legitimate run. I'm leaning towards the Rams in this matchup.
All right, one final question. Jordan DeJarni again, CBS Sports. Let's get to the champs. They easily beat Philadelphia, no trouble there. But there was a little bit of a concern. Have those concerns been removed because of that win against the Eagles, or are they still there for the Buccaneers?
No, there's no concerns that have been removed for the Buccaneers. You know, this Eagles team, they didn't beat a playoff team all year. I think they finished here 0-7 against teams that eventually made the playoffs.
Yep.
You know, we want to see the Buccaneers play, you know, a more formidable squad. That's great that they were able to take the field at home, take care of business. That's what should be expected out of a team led by Tom Brady. But at the same time, we want to see them against a go up against another team that has some offensive capabilities and has a more consistent signal caller, that where the Buccaneers are going to have to do more to keep up on the scoreboard. So, no, the jury's still out on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I want to see how they handle the offense without Chris Godwin and Antonio Brown.
Jordan, great having you on, my friend. Appreciate it. I know it's a busy Monday. Thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys.
You got it. Jordan DeJohnny, CBS Sports, talking a little NFL and a Progressive guest line. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. All right, come back. Final thoughts from Wild Card Weekend as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, thanks for joining us as we continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. So, Ron, you said you got an interesting story about...
I had a fun story.
All right, before we do that, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loan options for your family, Rocket can. All right, hit me with the story.
Donna Kelsey.
She is Kelsey's mom.
She is the mother of Travis and Jason.
Oh, pretty awesome.
So, Jason Kelsey, who is the center for the Eagles.
Right.
Had an earlier game that Donna attended.
Oh, she was in Tampa for that one.
She went to Tampa for that game, and then immediately when that game ended, she jumped on a plane and flew to Kansas City to
private
watch her.
Jet?
No.
Regular flight?
There's a photo of her. I mean, unless there's a lot of people with her. It looked like she was just traveling regular old, maybe a little bit better than coach. I'm not sure.
That sounds impossible to me. Does that
not
sound
really
like
Tampa
to
Kansas City? That's
yeah, but
maybe...
you're not getting on the plane immediately.
Well, maybe she left the game early.
Hold on. I don't want to derail the story, but if she's traveling regular, right? That game started at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
That game ended around 4.
Yep.
That leaves her 4 hours to get to the kickoff of the Kansas City game. Now, yeah, the flight is not, that's not a deal, but
you also
gotta get
an hour
to the airport. Yeah, you also gain an hour. Well, no, because it started at 8 o'clock Eastern time. So the game ended at 4 o'clock Eastern time. It started at 8 o'clock
yeah.
Eastern time. So she had 4 hours together. You get to the airport.
She might have been a little late
in
to the game.
You got
to
get. Yeah, she probably was.
I don't know if she saw each game in its entirety.
Okay, but great. Great for
but
her.
But able to watch both of her sons play on a Sunday.
Just letting her know private jet is the way to go. Get your kids to pony up the money. It's much easier.
I am certain Travis does not travel by, doesn't travel anything else but private jet. Jason probably. I can see Jason taking regular old public airline, if you will.
Yeah, of course. Exactly. Let your mom ride coach.
Yeah. But she also got a chance to have a little bit of fun, too.
What'd she do?
Well, here she is interviewing her son, Travis.
How awesome is that?
We'll go first to Donna Kelsey.
I'm sorry, what?
Yes, it's your mom.
What's up, Mom? I'm glad you made it.
Yeah, I know. I actually made it at a disappointing Tampa game. This was an elation to see you get a touchdown in a playoff game. I mean, oh, my gosh, how good did that feel? How good did that feel after all these years?
Oh, man. To finally throw a touchdown, like I used to tell my mom when I was like 5 years old, I was going to eventually throw a touchdown in the National Football League. I finally got it done. It only took me 9 years. That's a good question, though, Mom.
Yeah, that's awesome. It was so fun. And that's what makes sports so great, because you can be depressed in the morning and elated in the evening. So
there you go. Glad I could put a smile on your face. Love you, Mom.
Yeah, you too. Love you, too.
She's the best, man.
Oh, how great. Now, does Jason get the – I don't know why you can't win like your brother.
Yeah, I know, right?
Like your brother is – he's winning his game by multiple points. Why can't you win a playoff game?
Remember how we talked – it was after the Harbaugh Super Bowl. And we were like, John always has that over Jim forever,
yeah,
never, never.
Right.
It's got to be the same thing here, right?
I would
with Travis and Jason. I mean,
Jason won a Super Bowl.
He did get a ring. I forgot.
So he got a Super Bowl. He just didn't win this weekend. And the mom was probably like, "Well, your brother won, but you didn't." So
yeah.
I don't know what to tell you, Jason.
Well, I love the fact too. Is like you could be almost depressed in the morning and then elated at night. Thank you, son.
That's
Thank
right.
Thank you for putting
Thank
a
you,
smile
son.
On my face.
Thank you. Unlike your disappointing brother, you made your mom smile. Your brother, on the other hand, different story. You, though, yeah. put a smile on your mom's face. So I'm happy for you, but I'm happy for me being happy, unlike your brother. Yeah, that must have been great. What a great moment. I would, if that happened to me, if my mom asked me a question, I threw a touchdown pass and I was elated, I would be texting my brother as the interview was taking
oh,
place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or I would be saying, Mom is congratulating me on winning and you lost. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah. Or just simply text you, hey, did your mom interview you after the game? No. Yeah. Mm. Too bad.
You want to tell you, though, how mature I'm getting in my older age, though? When my brother and I grew up together, we were only a year apart, so we really are very, really close. And I'm a Steeler fan. He's a Cowboy fan. I called him last night to console him, to tell him how sorry I was that his team lost and that he deserved better. When I would have rubbed this in his face 20, 30 years ago.
Well, let me ask you something there. Yeah. Did he call you?
He texted me. It was a little late. He texted me.
That's
fair. Said,
I guess that's good enough.
He said something like, you had a good, you know, it was a good run, you know, whatever. But I called him flat out and I was like, I'm so sorry. This is a disaster. That was embarrassing. Your team deserves better than that. Like, they should have played better. That was a winnable game.
Where in the past you would have been pointing your finger going,
oh, yeah. Everything about your team stinks. Everything about my team is great. Yeah, that kind of thing. But I knew the Steelers would lose, so I was ready.
With age does come wisdom.
Yes, exactly. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Wake up call, Sports Map Radio.